Celebrate 30 years of climbing higher in Christ with Bethel Deliverance International Church and Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. Join us for a special week of services beginning Sunday, May 14th, with our very own pastor, Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr., during our 7:30 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. services. Our special week continues Tuesday, May 16th at 7 o'clock p.m. as Bishop Jackie McCullough from the International Gathering at Beth Rapha of New York, New York, delivers an impactful word from God. Leading worship that evening will be Divine Praise Music Ministry. Delivering God's Word on Wednesday, May 17th at 7 o'clock p.m. will be Bishop W. Lonnie Herndon from the Church of Christian Compassion. Worship for that night will be led by Brother David V. Cooper IV. Thursday, May 18th at 7 o'clock p.m., you'll be in for yet another treat as Pastor Clement M. Lupton III of Beloved St. John Evangelistic Church brings us a powerful message from God. Ministering in song for that evening will be our combined children and youth choir of BDIC. To close out this powerful week, on Friday, May 19th at 7 o'clock p.m., Bishop Daryl Woodson of El Shaddai Pentecostal Church of Christ will deliver another life-changing message from our Lord. Worship will be led by the Bethel Deliverance International Church Anniversary Choir. It's a family affair, so plan now to join us as we celebrate 30 years of God's faithfulness.
If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
David walked in his kingly anointing as long as he could till the ark came back home. When the ark came back home, David stripped himself down to only what was necessary and went out and danced before the Lord. You see, some of you, you don't need to have anybody lay their hands on you. You just need to dance. You just need to cut loose and give God a praise that comes from the fact that you are a survivor. See, we have listened to so many different people until we're confused. Now, I am not knocking the plethora of ministries that God has in the world. They're needed. But bless God. You have to have one main preacher. And that's usually called your pastor. Paul said, though you have 10,000 instructors, you only have one father. Now, y'all got to stop listening to so many different people. You're getting confused. Some telling you can lose your salvation. Some telling you can hold on to your salvation. Some telling you don't need to praise him. Some saying praise him. Some say God don't move in healing. Some says God does move in healing. You come in and you're confused. You got to have one father. And since I've been relegated to that position, then listen to me. I'm telling you that you ought to praise him like you lost your mind. I'm telling you, he has not stopped healing. I'm telling you, he is still a deliverer. You know why I'm telling you? Because he delivered me, he healed me, and he set me free. Now listen to your daddy.
Well, a few weeks ago when the Lord said to me, he said, you spending too much time exegeting scripture and not giving out the scripture. You stop listening to all these folk telling you to dig into the word. Jesus didn't do all that foolishness. That's what's wrong with us. We got so much knowledge that we're confused. Trying to counsel God now. He didn't mean this and he didn't mean that. God said what he meant. These signs shall follow the believer. In my name they shall speak with other tongues. Lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. We so deep now, studying stuff that don't even matter. Don't even matter. Don't even matter anymore. You're fighting for your life. And folks got you digging into stuff that don't even matter. Arguing about stuff that doesn't even matter. That's why you have no joy anymore. At one time, we had joy without knowledge. Now we got knowledge and no joy. You got to have them both. You got to have knowledge and don't let nobody take your joy. Now you dance and know what you're dancing for. Amen. We don't dance out of ignorance. We dance out of power. Faith is being tried. You're not being tried. Your faith is being tried. Faith is the substance. It's the evidence. And the third thing that he tries to tell us here is that faith always has a witness. In other words, your faith doesn't stand on its own. Somewhere there's a link in your life where God has done something either for you or somebody else. Let me show you something. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, it's the story of Goliath's threat and challenge to the armies of God. I submit to you that when those armies were being confronted by this imposing sight, 9'2" tall, eyes slightly off center, closer to the end of his face, looking like a freak of nature, armor weighing, in our terminology, about 250 plus pounds, spear so big, the Bible said it was like a weaver's beam. We identify the weaver's beam as if you ever buy material from the material store and that round bolt of material, that piece of cardboard in the middle, that's the weaver's beam. That big piece of cardboard in the middle, that means the staff of his spear was bigger than my hand. His armor, his shield was so large that he had an armor bearer to carry it. That's where the term armor bearer comes from. Armor bearer wasn't a position of honor. It was a place for a slave. Don't rush to be somebody's armor bearer. That means they're going to boss you around because armor bearers always, they're treated like they're insignificant. Go get pastor's shoes and shine them for them. You shine your own shoes. I didn't call you to be my slave. He called all of us to be slaves to Jesus. One so-called armor bearer called me and said they didn't know what to do. The pastor called them one night at 9 o'clock and said, go get the pastor some smothered pork chops. Said, Bishop Lambert, I don't know what to do. I love my pastor and I want to serve my pastor. But I said, don't go. What are they going to do? What's the most they can do? Remove you from the position. And you don't need to be in a position where somebody's going to send you to the store to get smothered pork chops at 9 o'clock at night. Goliath had armor bearers, slaves. And David came down to meet Goliath. And let me compare this with faith. David tells the king that he's going to beat Goliath. In fact, in verse 32, he says, let no man's heart fail because of this giant. Your servant will go out and fight with him. And Saul said to David, verse 33, you're not able to go out against him. He said, because you're just a child. He said, but this is a man of war from his youth. But he misses a phrase to connect with child. So let me read it to you out of Lambert's translation. He says, you're just a youth, comma, although you have a testimony, quote, unquote. You see, what Saul missed was that though David was a child, he was a child with a testimony. And faith always has a witness. Don't despise what God takes you through. That's how you build your faith for your Goliath. If you don't have a getting through, then you will hide in the trench. You will hide in the trench if you don't have a getting through. Because when David stands up, he says, verse 34, your servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Now, this is interesting. He says here that there was a collusion between two natural enemies, the lion and the bear. See, whenever God is moving in your life, the enemy will bring people together who don't normally work together to bring you down. Jesus was the only one who could bring Pharisees and Sadducees together. And together, they connived to kill Jesus. You see, the devil is so wicked that he does anything in his power to stop the release of the anointing. But I'm here this morning to tell you that the anointing cannot be stopped. No matter what weapon he uses, it's going to fail. Woo! Woo! Glory. See, here's what we do. We let the devil gang up on us, then we try to fight him alone. Nah, baby. If he go out and get some people, I'm getting some people. That's why I'm looking around the congregation to find them crazy folk. I ain't coming to the devil with no bougie Christian. I'm coming with a praise warrior. I'm coming with a dancer. I'm coming with somebody who knows how to get a prayer through. When the battle is on, I don't need no cute Christian. David said, there came a lion and a bear and took him a lamb out of my flock. I went out after him. So you see what he says here. He says, I went out after him. You got to go get your praise. Don't let the devil take your praise away. Go get it. Get it back. You don't lose praise. You surrender it. Go get it back. You come to church. This is a place of praise. This ain't no Bible Institute. This is a place of worship. When we have our Bible Institute, you ain't glad when you go in the class because you got to study, read, write, and take tests. But I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. After you've been through Bible Institute all week, you glad to come into church and get your praise on. I survived. You have to learn what David learned. Go after what's important to you. I watch with great amazement the number of Christians who used to praise God in a very demonstrative way. Now you're dry and you're kind of just sitting there. You're kind of just here. I don't get it. God has brought you through fiery trials, physical ailments, financial difficulties, open doors for you that you thought were shut, caused your enemies to flee seven ways, stood by you in the midst of despair, touched your wounded and lonely heart, blessed your going out and your coming in, encouraged your heart even when you messed up and violated scripture. He is owed praise. I owe him. I think that there is a misconception going on in the church. There's a misconception at work. Let me help you. Sit down. many of you have ever used this phrase while you're at a restaurant when you get the menu? You're sitting with someone and they say, what are you going to eat? And you say, well, I don't know. I'm not too hungry. Anybody ever say that? You're sitting in a restaurant, a place of food, and you say, I'm not too hungry, right? Okay, now some of you raised your hands, and a lot more of you just sitting there because you don't know what direction I'm going and you don't want to be embarrassed. You're smart people. But I'm not going to embarrass you. I've grown out of that phase of my ministry. Watch. Now, here's the question that I ask you. If you're not too hungry, why are you in the restaurant? And if you're not too hungry, why do you order something anyway? So you may begin to narrow the explanation. Well, I'm not going to order too much. Just give me an order of fries. Or just give me a Caesar salad. I'm not too hungry. But you're getting something. And you're really not hungry. And usually you do that when you're with somebody else who has a voracious appetite. They say, well, shucks, I'm hungry. I'll take the salad, the soup, I'll have the chicken fingers, not the fried. Give me the sauteed ones. I want potato salad. I want everything you got. Now, you want something, but not as much as them. But you want something. How can you come in church and not give God a little bit of praise? You say, well, I'm just not an emotional person. You got emotions. Don't make me prove it. Y'all know I like Mickey Mouse and all of his offspring. If I were to release all the Mickeys under your chair, you'd have emotions. You ain't gonna sit down and just... You have emotions. Why is it that you can't give God a little something? Why is it, if you can just have a salad, then why can't you give him just a salad praise? How can you not give him anything? You mean he didn't do anything to get something? Watch this. That's your witness. Your praise is your witness. Your praise is what builds up your faith, because your praise is the witness of what God has done. It builds up expectation for what you want him to do. In fact, oh, glory to God. In fact, I'm going to boldly declare that nothing will come to you that you have not already come through. The whole purpose for your past is to ignite your faith for your future. Before God can do something in your future, you've got to look at what he's done in your past. Your praise from your past makes your faith strong for your future. Watch this. Let's tie this together. David said, the lion and the bear came and took a lamb out my flock, and I went after him, and I smote him, and I delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, see, he's saying here that this bear, because lions don't have beards, he said this bear had the lamb in his mouth. So apparently, the lion and the bear were going to take the lamb and split it. Now, I don't know how they got into this, you know, this agreement and colluded. I don't know how they did that. I'd love to see the two of them get together right now, but it ain't going to happen. But whatever reason, the bear has the food. And David said, I went after him. Why? Because he did not know who was watching those sheep. Now see, I'm a pragmatist. Listen, I put things together. Apparently, this lion and this bear had gone into another flock and took something out. And more than likely were not pursued. Apparently, they've done this before, because predators are creatures of habit. They only hunt where they've been successful. Lord, help me. So when they came to David's flock, they figured that this particular shepherd was a punk like the other ones. So they took that lamb and started going away. Unbeknownst to them, David took inventory of his sheep, saw one missing, and went after it. He took the thing out of the mouth of the bear, and the bear sold the wolf ticket. He rose up. David said, I killed him. Woo! Come on, David, with your blood and crypt self. He said, woo! He said, when he rose up, I took him by the beard. You know why he took him by the beard? So he couldn't get away. See, he thought that when he rose up, David would be intimidated. David said, ah! I know y'all real saved. But God speaks to me through stuff that ain't always biblical. And I have this movie called Bronx Tale. I talk about it all the time. And in this movie, there's a scene where the bikers come into the club and they start cutting up. And Sonny has asked them to leave. And they told him, get out of here. Go outside and watch the bikes. Sonny went to the door and locked the door. He turned and said, now you can't leave. Lord, have mercy. I got that movie. I fast forwarded just to that spot. When my spirit is feeling down, I fast forwarded to that spot. I tell the devil, now you can't leave. Because what you've done is you've pushed me into praise. And you're going to have to stay here and listen to my yada. You're going to have to listen to my Baruch. You're going to have to listen to my Tehillah. You're going to have to listen to my Halal. You should have left when you had the chance. I'm not letting you go. Oh, bless the Lord on my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. David goes on now. He says, I caught him by his beard. He said, I smote him. And I slew him. God. I want David on my side. I want him on the security team. Get him on the security team. Amen. Glory. I'd rather be tried by 12 than carried by 6. David said, I caught him and I killed him. And notice what it says. He says, your servant slew both of them. That means one of them saw the one getting killed and tried to run away. He said, no, I ain't letting you go. Come here. You in this too. Killed them both. Only two people in the Bible killed the lions. Both of them were nuts. Killed them with their hands. David and Samson. Now, you know you bad when you kill a lion. Lions are fierce. Even God has to use him as a metaphor for the devil, that he's walking around as a roaring lion. And they just ripped him apart. When the anointing comes on you, you can beat things that you used to run from. Faith will make you anointed. Get your anointing. Get your anointing, Groove. Do you understand the power of the anointing? You know the anointing makes you fat. That's right. It makes you fat. Because the Bible says that the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. And a yoke was something draped around you. But when the anointing comes, it makes your neck so fat that yoke of bondage just falls off of you. My God. My God, my God, my God. David said, I smote him, I caught him. He says, and I killed both the lion and the bear. And notice what he said. David is bad. David was bad before Michael Jackson. David said, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as, notice this, one of them. He don't even have to say both of them. He said, this uncircumcised. You have to look at your situation. Anything that comes to challenge your faith should be treated like Goliath. Nothing should make you high. I hear the Lord saying to me over the last 2 days, be bold, step into new ventures, step into new places, step boldly, move now. Stop being afraid and hiding. Stop looking at your physical circumstances and step into greatness. Look at where I've brought you. Look back there. He said, this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. Listen to this testimony. This is what faith needs, a witness. He says, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. Do you know every time the devil comes against your faith, he's defying God? He's trying to tell you God cannot do what he said, that God is a liar. Do you know God can take a lot of stuff until it comes to calling him a liar? You go back to Numbers 13 and 14. When those spies came back, and of the 12 spies, 10 of them came back with the story of the punked. They came back saying, we can't take this land because the enemies are greater than us. Now, they haven't even tried them yet. You haven't even tried what God has been telling you to try. You've looked at it and drawn the conclusion that you cannot do it. Like Peter, you started walking on the water, but you let the winds of uncertainty and the waves of doubt push you off your blessing. Well, I'm here to tell you today that the God that enabled you to walk out the boat is the God that will sustain you while you're walking. If he had enough power to help you get started, then Paul said, he that begun a good work in you shall perform it or complete it until the task is done. You're a believer. You don't quit just because it gets tough. That's your time to shine. That's your time to show the world that your God and you are the majority. If God be for you, who cares who's against you? Nothing can stop you. You are the righteousness of God. You ought to have hope this morning that no weapon that is formed, it don't even come to you. It's just formed and it will not prosper. The devil's defying the Lord. He's defying the word of God, and he's looking to see if you agree with it. I'm not giving up on God simply because somebody said something negative. Call unto me, he says, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't even know. This is your day to shine. This is your day to rise. This is your day to overcome. This is your day for healing. This is your day for success. This is your day for prosperity. This is your day for deliverance. Don't lay down to Goliath's roar. Listen to this. The devil's not fighting you. When you read over in the book of Job, what does he tell God? He said, look, if I take this man's property, he said, he's going to curse you. The devil ain't steadying you. He's trying to get you to hurt God. He don't care nothing about you. And if you saved, all he wants you to do is stay focused on your little salvation. Just make sure you get to heaven. But he doesn't want you to reach out to anybody else. And he sure doesn't want you to experience any changes in your life. He wants you to stay stuck in the same way of doing stuff. That every person that comes with a new idea is a threat, a devil. He just wants you to stay stuck. And here, the stuff you've been doing, that season is over. That season is over. The way we used to do stuff, God said to me, he said, the way you've done church in the past is over. And we're afraid to try new stuff. We want God to do, he says, I'm going to do a new thing. And he can't do it unless we're willing to do new stuff. We do everything the same way. And we fall into the rut of discontent. And then God sends somebody in to do something different. And we rebel. Oh, that ain't God. Yes, it is. Remember, when you came with something new, they said you weren't God. I serve a God that does new stuff. And I'm willing to do it with him. Amen. There's a committee formed to deal with the 30th year anniversary of this church's work. I stepped out of it. I don't have anything to do with it. I get messages because I want to be surprised at the new stuff that the Lord is doing. You see, you have to have different people in your life to do new things. You understand, anytime we're exposed to something new, we rebel because it upsets our comfort. This is how we've done it for years, and it works. I'm not saying that it doesn't work, but bless God, there has to be something different because we target a generation. Most of what we do is targeting the baby boomer, and that's why we're losing the millennium people. Because we're still doing stuff the same way. That's why colleges are so successful now. Because they realize that in this media savvy world, they realize these kids ain't coming to college. So they began to put out all this online classes. And then folks began to settle into it. I'm sure there were people who said, you can't learn nothing online. They fought against it. But these schools kept right on going. And now people are getting bona fide degrees from universities of renown. But somebody has to take the first step of change. And God did it here when he selected a 16-year-old boy to be king. He didn't just select a 16-year-old. He selected a 16-year-old with a testimony. And that's what I want around me. I want people who have been through something. Listen, things aren't as you think they are just by what you see. For years, people watched Jerry Falwell on television. And Jerry wasn't very demonstrative in physical stuff and with worship. Jerry could stand behind that pulpit just like Charles Stanley and preach you into spiritual oblivion. But what you don't know is at the beginning of Jerry's ministry, they used to have Friday night all-night prayers. And people would come from all around for fasting and prayer. And they were getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, he didn't say a whole lot of that when he was preaching. But that's what was happening by the record of those who started in that ministry. See, we can't make decisions about people by what we see. Because you don't know what God has done and is doing in their time with him. See, that's why you can't just despise new stuff. God is bringing you to what I like to call, he's taking the church out of the theory phase and bringing us to the practical. See, you sat in classes all these years and you heard Mark 16. And now it's time for you to start laying hands on the sick.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Our fellowship of churches, the pastors are so hungry to have Bible institutes in their churches that we're putting together a process whereby we can have literally 20 Bible institutes at each church, all with one curriculum, with one goal in mind. Is to feed the people of God the principles of the kingdom of heaven. Not those old principles that kept us in bondage. I'm not interested in dealing with cigarette smoking and liquor drinking. I'm interested in getting you filled with the Spirit so that your heart will be changed. And if your heart is changed, God will stop your cigarette smoking and he'll stop your liquor drinking. You see, that's what faith is. Faith is not the regimen of religion. It is the experience of God. We spent so much time trying to tell people what they shouldn't do that we've lost them to false religions who tell them what they can do. You shouldn't come into church and be beat up. You shouldn't come into church and be made to feel hopeless. You should not leave here with despair while the preacher just beats you up about sin and sanctification. And the people, the self-righteous folk, tell it, tell it. And you leave here just, oh my God, huh? Woo, Lord, I'm trying, Lord, but I can't even get no help in my church. No, not at Bethel. You come into Bethel down, but you walking out with your head up. You walking out telling the devil, I might have lost last week, but the war ain't over. And that's what faith is all about, is to stabilize and get you moving. Every sickness is not unto death. Faith is substance. Let's look at David's, his speech. He said he's going to be like one of those animals I killed. And then in verse 37, he said, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. Note the declarative. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And notice Saul. He said to David, go. And the Lord be with thee. Now, why wasn't the Lord with Saul? Because Saul had a position with no testimony. Saul had a position, but no testimony. That's why he was hiding in his tent. He had no testimony. I'd rather have a testimony than an ecclesiastical title. I'd rather have the proof that God can do it than have people call me apostle and bishop. I'd rather know that he's on my side. That's what faith is. Go to Genesis. In Genesis chapter 18. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. And was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, when you read Genesis 18, in verse 9, they, the heavenly visitors, said to Abraham, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "Behold, she is over in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." So in other words, I'm going to be back in 9 months, according to the time of life, how much time it takes for her to have it. And Sarah will have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham thought that she was in the tent, but she was standing outside of his tent, eavesdropping. Now, I need to show you this. This says, through faith, comma, through faith also, comma, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. See the Hebrews? Through faith also, comma, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. She received the strength to conceive. And she had a child when she was past the age. I'm trying to show you two important facts. Number one, the writer in the Hebrews speaks of the result of her faith that grew somehow. Something happened to Sarah. Watch. In Genesis 18, she's someplace she wasn't supposed to be, hearing something that she wasn't supposed to hear. The promise to bear the child was not given to Sarah because she did not have the faith to receive the promise. God doesn't drop promises on people who will just ignore them.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
3317A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.